11 minutes past a 9 o'clock. This is Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tom are here until 11.30 today. Then Triple M will be rocking football. We're catching up with David Koch after 11 o'clock. Here's what he had to say about Ken Hinckley's future.
Oh, absolutely. He's contracted for next year. So there's really no discussion about it. And look, football clubs start to worry about coaching and coaching groups when there's fighting amongst players and coaches, or there's a lack of support for each other. There is not one iota of that.
That full chat after 10:30 this morning.
Yeah, best round of footy, I think, on paper since the expansion clubs came in. And the games last night didn't let us down. The Western Bulldogs were far too good in the end for Hawthorn, but they started really well. Hawthorn had them on the back foot, 5-1. And then Bulldogs went on a run and kicked, I think, 13 or 14 in a row, which is very, very impressive from them. And they were far too good for the Western Bulldogs last night. It was good to see Riley West, son of Scott West, who was really good, Liberatore as well. And their midfield got up and going, and they were just too classy in the end for Hawthorn.
I tell you what, Jamara Ugle-Hagan actually impressed me last night, Rock. Mm. It was good to see him actually have a bit of a free run at the footy for the number one draft pick.
Yeah, it was. He played really well. And another guy at the other end who apparently has seen a hand therapist to make sure his hands are strong was Mitch Lewis. He looked very, very good.
And jeez, those Dukes looked good, didn't they?
Mm. Yeah, they did. And I've been critical this year, and I think we all have, about the rules and the umpires. I just want to read you a little stat about last night. I think they deserve a pat on the back. So in the two cracking games, I thought, high scoring, exactly what everyone wants. Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, 29 free kicks for the game.
Yeah, right.
West Coast versus Essendon, 27. Mm. So we said earlier,
well, that's what we want.
Yeah, earlier in the year that they were record numbers, averaging 44, 45 a game. Mm. Far too high last night. Very well officiated, and we've seen two really good games.
Well, in the three games in this round so far, at least one side out of the two playing have scored over 100 points, and that's what we're after, isn't it? Like, good games of footy. Obviously, we saw the Dogs and the Giants last week. That was scintillating. I didn't actually quite get to catch my eye over West, but Fergus being an Essendon man, surely they got up. How'd that go?
Yeah. yeah, you can cut the music. Cut the music.
What happened?
Dreadful. It wasn't good. But to be honest, it's not overly surprising. It made me a little bit ill in the stomach. But it was a good game of footy. Like, it was high scoring. It's what Rocky talked about. But just again, like, I think that's Essendon's youth showing through. They're a young side at the moment, and they're probably struggling with the mental side of the game, Rocky. They're just not able to keep producing that high-end effort that's required at the AFL level week in, week out to be consistent.
Yeah, and West Coast are a good team. They've still got some good players there, and we've seen them start to find a little bit of form. Elliot Yeo's move back to halfback, where he plays his best footy, I think. They've tried him in the midfield for a number of years, and he was very good at different times through there. But Kennedy kicked 5. Jack Redden seen some footy as well.
Yep. And
really good game of footy in the end. I think Essendon jumped them at the start, but West Coast found a bit of their mojo, and then it was a really good finish. Like, you couldn't not watch the end. I know that you didn't see it, Tomo. You had to get to bed early because footy today.
Yeah,
so
that is it.
You thought Essendon had won, but they went down by, it was 10 points in the end, and a real another good contest right to the final siren. But I tell you what, Super Saturday today.
Yeah, there's a bit going on today, no doubt. Just before we do move on, and we will preview the other games as well, no doubt about that, but these two games on a Friday night, give me a spell. Like, just cannot happen. Like, it's woeful for the game. It really makes it tough.
Yeah, it is. I think the crowds were okay, 40,000 over there in Perth, and I'm not sure what the Melbourne one was at Marvel. It wasn't a huge crowd. No. It wasn't a massive crowd on Thursday night either. So I think they're doing it for TV audiences now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are staying away. So that's why they play those two.
Yep. Interesting. Now, I see down at the rundown here that Greg Blewett has done something throughout the week. And it's just the gift that keeps on giving, Ferg.
He is. He just keeps delivering for the Dead Set Legends, Bluey. And he is in the gun again. Don't worry about that. The crosshairs are on him.
Set himself up on the golf tee. We're going to go whack next. R.E.M. Losing My Religion. 15 minutes past 9 o'clock. Triple M. Triple M. This is Dead Set Legends 104.7 on the dial, and we are also on Listener as well, LISTNR. Asking the father-in-law for permission, is it still a thing in 2022? We're going to get to that after 9:30 this morning. But something stumbled across your desk this week, Fergus, and, well, you seem like you got a bit of a spring in your step, mate.
Oh, yeah, twinkle toes this morning. But I have been for a few days, actually, because where we'll start is we did give Bluey a little drive-by last week, didn't we? And he's one of our own, Blue, and we love him, and he's a class act. And
bloody oath.
But... yeah, he didn't take too kindly to a little drive-by last week, and he then ended up spending 15 minutes of the Rush Hour show the other day laying into Rocky. I think we all fell asleep at the wheel while we were driving home. But I was just, you know, having a little glance at my Instagram the other day. I don't spend too much time on it, but I did a couple of days ago, and I nearly choked on my coffee.
Oh, no. What's he done?
There's a photo of the Blewetts.
Yep.
Sitting next to the Brayshaws at Sidewood Winery, lovely winery in Adelaide.
So that's Greg and Catherine and JB and his partner Lisa, is that right?
Yep. That's exactly right. And it was a lovely photo, don't get me wrong. But underneath it was the simple caption of the Blue Shores.
Oh, come on. What is that?
The Blue Shores.
Oh.
Now... I don't know. Last time I checked, when the Rush Hour's getting together and JB, the captain of all of the Rush Hours around the country, comes to town and takes everyone out for lunch, it's not Bluey that's leading the charge. And he's thrown his name at the front of it, which is the worst bit of all of it.
Oh,
it should have been the Braylets.
No. Now, is that a pretty ordinary week, our man Blue? So I heard something last night. So obviously he's clipped Rock to buggery on like all week. He's always after you, isn't he?
Being the bonnet stuff.
Now, that's actually a really good segue.
That's right.
Fergus, because this is a man that played 46 test matches for our country, but cannot do anything around the house or anything to do with his car. This is what I heard last night. Okay, have a listen to this.
I had a screw in my tyre the other day, and I got the RAA around to change my tyre, right? But while he was out changing my tyre...
On your Jeep?
My wiper water was light was flashing.
Oh
right?
Yes.
So I just
wiper
had
fluid.
Wiper fluid.
Yep.
So I was trying to work out how to
refill
but
it.
I could not you for the life of me.
You're trying to tip water through the air vent.
No, I could not find the handle underneath the steering
nozzle.
Wheel to release
the
So while the RAA
to
guy
pop the bonnet.
Yeah, so while the RAA guy
no,
was out,
please,
mate,
please, no.
just have a look at my washer fluid.
Not only he couldn't find the washer fluid, but he doesn't know where the latch is for the bonnet. What is this?
He can't open the bonnet of his car. Now, I thought when he was telling the story that the worst, the real bad bit of all of it was the fact that he couldn't even change a tyre, didn't even attempt to, rang RAA, didn't even give it a go. And then he can't open the bonnet.
Oh, this is an issue. What are we dealing with?
On?
What are we?
Wait,
we're talking blood,
Rocky,
sweat.
Give us something here, Rock, because this is the guy that lined you up.
Yeah.
And I think that rant is still going from the other day. He's still in the background somewhere carrying on about you, Rock.
He was into me. So he makes those mistakes after 17 years in the industry. I've been in for 17 weeks and he decided to pile into me.
Hang on. So let's just finish off here. Like, this is a man that's played with Steve Waugh, blood, sweat, tears. Ricky Ponting,
man.
You know what I mean? Like, really tough Australians. And then you got Blue at the can't open the bonnet. 26 minutes away from 10 o'clock. This is Dead Set Legends 104.7 on the dial. And we are also on a listener, LISTNR. Dead Set Legends special investigation coming up before 10 o'clock this morning. The Williston Football Club. I don't know what's going on there with Andrew Jarman, but we have someone on the inside that's going to broadcast what the hell's happened in the past month since the Rush Hour boys went off and did a cashy. So we'll get to that before 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, we will. But before we get to that, we were speaking off air and we thought we'd take it to the family. 133353. We want them to get involved.
Here we go.
My sister-in-law recently got engaged and her partner,
yep.
he propose? And she said yes, but he didn't seek permission off my father-in-law. And they are no longer on talking terms.
Are you serious? Wow. Is it that dire straits, Rock?
Yes, yes. It's
gee whiz.
It's not healthy at the moment, but I wanted to know whether it's still a thing. I asked for permission. I went, not for permission, but went and said, I'm going to ask your daughter to marry me. Is that okay? And gave it the nod of approval. Mm. You recently got engaged, Tomo. Yeah. Did you...
Yeah, I did. I was December last year when I got engaged and made sure that I went up to go see Dags, which is Charlie's old man. So I went up there with, I think it might have been maybe 6 to 8 responsibly there, Fergus.
Nicely done.
Sort of chewed the fat for a bit. That's and a spirit. I get on really, really well with him and like Charlie's whole family. And I was the exact same. I think it's a good idea to flag it. I think it's an old school tradition, but I can understand the other part of it as well is there's a lot of females out there is like, well, why would you have to ask my father for permission? You know, I'm not an object. I'm my own person as well, Fergus. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think it's a nice tradition. That's always how I viewed it. It's a nice tradition. You just go and speak to the father and ask if it's okay with them. I had in my situation some health issues on my father-in-law's side, so I actually went and asked Denise, Ree's mum.
Yep.
I just thought it was the right thing to do. But I can also see the other side of it. I suppose there's a few people out there that aren't too pleased with it, and you know there's some connotations that they don't like about it. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit traditionalist with some things, and I quite like the idea of this one. But you know, everyone's different. Everyone sees things differently.
Yeah, I've got a mate of mine that I asked him. I said, "Did you ask the father-in-law?" He's like, "No, I asked them both together. Both his now fiance's parents together." He goes, "Why should the father be more important than the mother?" So there's so many different ways around this run, Rocky.
Yeah, there is. There's plenty of ways to do it. And I suppose it's just courtesy. Is it courtesy or respect to the parent-in-laws? I wonder if there's any stories out there of some dads that haven't been asked, they've blown up, or whether they've said no, even.
There been any have shotguns drawn? No?
Have they said no? Wow, that's interesting. 133353, asking the father-in-law if it's okay to marry the daughter, is it still a thing in 2022? I want to get back to the no speaking terms, though, with your sister-in-law, though, there, Rocky, because... I tell you what, and both of you two are fathers as well. So what if it happened to you guys? Would you not speak to your potential son-in-law if they didn't ask you?
Oh, I've got two boys at the moment. So I think a daughter is really special to a father. They say that bond's really special. So I think it's just a level of respect. I suppose it's how well do you get on with that son-in-law, potential future son-in-law. So I can see both sides of it as well.
Yeah, what about you, Fergus? You've got a nice young daughter there.
Yeah, I think if Layla's future partner didn't ask, then I'd use it as an opportunity to really wind him up for the next 10 years.
Perfect.
See how he handles that. And then if he's okay with that, then we'll get back onto level terms.
10 years. It's going to take a decade. Oh, wow. Okay. 133353, asking the father-in-law for permission. Is it still a thing in 2022? We've got some great prizes to give away as well. Double pass galore to go see Elvis. This is brilliant. 133353, hit the phones. Triple M. 16 minutes away from 10 o'clock, 104.7 on the dial, and we are also on a listener. This is the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cow Ferguson, and Tomo. We catch up with David Kosh after 10:30 today, right now we're tackling all the big issues on 133353. Do you ask the father-in-law for permission in 2022? You can also get us on the text line as well, Rock.
04555 04.
Go again. It's a butcher shop.
04888.
1047 is the text line that you can get us on. Now, Rocky, you've brought this to the table. Something's happened in your family, mate.
Yeah, so my sister-in-law recently got engaged and her partner did not ask her father, so my father-in-law, if they could get married or get engaged. So they're not on good terms at the moment. He's not happy about it at all. He's a traditionalist, I suppose you would say, my father-in-law. So just a level of respect, he believes. And we just wanted to get some stories out there. Maybe there's some old man's out, fathers out there that haven't been asked in the past or potentially said no.
Yeah, that's right.
To
So this is your partner's sister's boyfriend or fiance? Yep, so are they living in the same state? What's going on there?
Yeah, living in the same house. So
in the same house?
What? Yep, in the same house. So.
What?
You're kidding.
This is unbelievable. And Fergus, you're pretty strong on the fact that it's a nice traditional thing to do.
Oh, look, I think it is. I'd never really looked at the other side of it, though, and there's obviously some female listeners out there that might think differently, but I think it's a nice tradition. I suppose it's more so between the men because it's not really, like, if they say no, I don't think there's going to be too many couples that are going to, you know, stop themselves from going down the aisle on the back of it,
yep.
But it might just cause some friction, but I think it's a nice tradition.
133353 is the number asking the father-in-law for permission as we head out to Sullivan's Beach. We got George. Your thoughts, please, brother.
Yeah, how you going, mate? I actually asked the wife first and then seen the father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a bit strange if he said, hell yeah, and then she said, shit, no.
Probably it's a bit awkward, wouldn't it, Georgie?
Yeah. And, now we've been married for 41 years.
Ah, love it, mate. There you go. Beautiful. Oh, sorry, Georgie, keep going.
Got on like a house on fire, man. He was a brilliant person before he passed away.
That's great.
That's very good. Now we'll head out to Lightsview. Kelly, what's your thoughts? Should you ask the father-in-law before you get married?
Well, you're speaking from a daughter's point of view, so it could be either way. You could ask the son's father or the daughter's father, depending which way it goes, or for same-sex marriages.
Yep.
But
that's right.
I'm now divorced, but my ex-husband asked my father and obtained a dowry of a couple of chickens, a couple of cows, and a couple of sheep, all the plastic farm animals, to actually be able to marry me.
Wow. Oh, there you go. That's old school.
That is vintage there, Kel.
Yeah, I like it.
They're only plastic farm animals, so.
Oh, okay.
But they'd be hard pressed to ask him now. He passed away 11 years ago, so I don't know how he's going to answer him now.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's a real traditional sort of angle on it.
The dowry's really dropped off the face of the earth, hasn't it? You don't see that too often.
Absolutely. As we go to the Barossa, we got Roger there. Roger, asking the father-in-law for permission, mate. What's the story in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, even though it's 2022, I got married quite a few years ago, but I still think it's a tradition because if you think about it this way, the father generally gives away his daughter in a church ceremony or a marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about entering a new family relationship with the new other half of the family. And to some extent, the daughter is distancing to herself from her current family into a new family.
Yep.
So I think it's all about respect and getting into a new relationship. And if you get on well with your in-laws potentially at the beginning, there shouldn't be any issues.
Yeah, great call, Roger.
That's a good point Roger makes because the father walks his daughter down the aisle.
That's right. Exactly.
So
is that a thing that is still, well, obviously it is happening, but is that going to be something that could be phased out down the track as well, Rock?
Yeah, potentially. It could be.
If people are talking about it, then surely, you know, if there is some women out there that would rather that wasn't happening than they're not being given away by their father at their wedding, wouldn't that match up?
Yeah, you're probably right there, Fergus.
It's an interesting one.
We got one more. Who we got there, Rock?
We got Tim from Manopara.
Gentlemen, how you going?
Yeah,
good morning.
Good, thanks. What's your thoughts on asking the father-in-law?
The father-in-law on that in this case is not around, so I actually asked the brother-in-law.
Oh yes,
nice touch. When
we first got together, he was a bit unsure because we moved in together pretty quickly. But when it came to the time for me to ask, we were pretty close, and I just wanted to make sure he was happy for me to stick around.
Perfect. Yeah, actually, interesting what Tim said. I did the same thing as well with Charlie's brother. I touched base with him. I think it just came out one night after a few too many tickets, to be honest.
Toucan Sam.
Dead Set Legend, special investigation up next. Triple M. Triple M, 8 minutes away from 10 o'clock, 104.7 on the dial, and we're also on Listener as well, LISTNR. So Dead Set Legends with Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom Owen. Boys, stunned to do this.
Another Dead Set Legends special investigation.
Willesden, the town that Andrew Newton Jarman is coaching.
Police who were already at Willesden Oval.
What has Andrew Jarman done to the Willesden Footy Club?
Yes, well, it's been a big month out at the Willesden Footy Club, hasn't it, boys? It's been a tough run, really. Actually, they've come off a big 18 months under Andrew Jarman. He took over a couple of years ago, 2021 it was, and started off like a house on fire. They had a great season. They made it to the grand final, and They were 9 goals up at half time.
Oh, they would have won that.
Yeah, you walk that in from there, don't you, boys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even playing conditions, not much wind out there, no rain.
So he's finally a premiership coach after ruining 15 clubs.
Well, he hasn't quite made it.
Oh, they lost.
He hasn't quite made it yet, Rock, because they went down in that second half. They blew a 9-goal lead. And unfortunately, that was the end of that dream fairy tale. But Jars, you know, came out not long after at the club and said, look, we're going to be bigger and better next year. It's going to be a huge off season, and then we're going to recruit well, and we're going to put in a big season next year. 2022 is our year. Well, it started beautifully. 6-0 they were at the start of the season, flying, everything running along beautifully. Well-oiled machine at Williston.
Airborne the Donnybrooks, I'm hearing.
Oh, weren't they? The Donnybrooks flying. And all of a sudden, Andrew Jarman goes missing on a Thursday night, not at training. What's happened here? Hasn't let too many know, apparently. Only a couple at the club knew about it. He's made his way out to Stansbury Golf Club with the Rush Hour team and then spent that night doing a cashy sportsman's night. Lining their pockets. Running training out there too, I heard. It was all happening.
So no one's in control of Williston, obviously, that week. He must have
rudderless,
just
I'm hearing. And we've got an insider too who we'll speak to later, but it wasn't pretty out there at training is what we're hearing. Yep. And what's probably a little bit worse as well is that he's obviously been working at Triple M for a long time. Well, our boss, Matty O'Reilly, has been trying to get him to do some work for Triple M on Thursday nights around town. A bit of charity work even. Like, just hasn't been able to get a hold of him for anything. Like, just not a thing. And all of a sudden, he's getting a phone call midweek. Oh, yeah, we're going to go out to do the show out in the country. We're going to take the show into the sticks. And, you know, fantastic. Great. No worries. But where's this been for the last 15 years at Triple M? You know, this ability to get out of town all of a sudden and do things that aren't necessarily for him. Well, it was all about him, wasn't it?
So
he lined his pockets.
The question I ask, Fergus, is since that night, how's the Williston Footy Club going? Like, obviously, he's missed training that night on the Thursday. He's taken off for the cashy. How have they gone since then?
Yeah, well, it's been nothing short of demoralising out there at Williston. They have nosedived like we've never seen a top side nosedive before. 6-0 they were. They've lost the 3 out of the next 4 rounds.
They have
plummeted. Wow. And I'm hearing the percentage is down around 50 as well, down from about 140. So it's been absolutely abysmal out there. And the club is at a loss as to where it's all gone wrong. Well, we're not.
Yep.
We know exactly where it's gone wrong. And it might be the fact that Jars has just taken his foot off the pedal, got ahead of himself like he did in the 93 prelim from 15 metres out straight in front, passed out at that point too, didn't he? So it's been ugly out at Williston, and we're going to find out why.
Yep. So we've got the Williston water boy on the line who's been involved with this club for the last 12 years and just doesn't want to share his name at the moment. So we've called him the Williston water boy, and he was actually there when they went down to Freeling on the weekend at home. Freeling's first win in over 1,000 days. The Williston water boy joins us. G'day, mate.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me on.
How are things out at Williston, please?
Oh, pretty flat, to be honest.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What's happened?
Oh, it's just been a tough week, you know. 12 years at the club I've had and volunteering and, I've never seen the place so flat.
Oh, no. Wow. So, and how's the interaction been with the head coach, Jars?
Well, to be honest with me, it's never been great the last couple of years. He still doesn't know my name.
Oh, come on, Jars.
12 years in the club. Club legend.
I actually get $15 cash a week to run water, but most of that gets spent on Jars. On Saturday.
What's he asking you to get all the beers again, is he?
Oh, no.
No, just chocolates at half time.
What's his go-to? Is it a Snickers?
Snickers and Mars bars.
Yeah. Oh, man. And how was the feeling when we went down to Freeling? Obviously, their first win in over 1,000 days.
No, it was really flat. You could hear a pin drop. No one showed up to the club function after. We're meant to have a quiz night. I actually run that quiz night. No one showed up.
Oh. Was Jars not there?
No, at functions, Jars. No.
Oh, he had a sportsman's night lining his pockets again, no doubt.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it sounds very, very flat, the Williston Waterboy.
Now Waterboy, how are the players with him? Is there a bit of fraction there?
Yeah, but it has been building, you know. I don't think Jazz's passion is there anymore.
Oh, no.
The boys can really feel that, you know. So.
Oh, wow. All right.
How's the preparation been for the games? You know, is he across who he's playing on weekends? You know, has he done all his due diligence, do you think?
Well, to be honest, with these wet nights we've been having, Jazz has been coaching from the from his cars on, car on Tuesday night.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, Williston Waterboy. And, hopefully we can turn things around shortly.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no.
That's
flattening. Just, can we get him Elvis tickets or something?
Yeah, it breaks your heart, doesn't it, to hear that? Because they were flying 6-0, and then he took the cash at Stansbury.
12 years as a volunteer out at the club, and Jars has just destroyed him. Doesn't even know his name.
Chocolates at halftime. Triple M, 104.7 on the dial, and we're also on listener as well. LIST and Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. We belong
together. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, stories from home and away.
Yes, another week of Home and Away. We love this one, boys, because we get to delve a little bit into the personal lives. And this week, as Tomo mentioned earlier, I've been up in the Gold Coast, living it up in the warm weather. It's been fantastic to thaw out a little bit. It got a little bit cold for our liking back home. So anyway, we've decided to bring the family up here, and there's a cast of thousands. We've got my in-laws up here as well, and kids everywhere. So it's been great fun. We've ventured out a bit to all the worlds. We've been to SeaWorld and Movie World.
Actually, we're just going to stop you there, Fergie. We're just going to stop you there because this is an intervention. Me and Rocky are just going to have a conversation about what happened at Movie World, please, because something appeared on your personal Instagram story.
Oh, yes.
It was a photo that went up of your lovely partner and your daughter, Layla. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
Yep. Was there or was there not a leash connected to your young daughter, Layla? Was there or was there not, please?
Absolutely there was.
Now, what is the story here, boys? I've seen you've dominated fatherhood for a couple of years. I've been round to your house with a barbecue. You're looking after Spencer, your little lad, and Layla. Yep. You're all over her. You're one of the great fathers. Now, why is there a leash involved, please?
Yeah, I think you've been far too generous there. But, well, mate, you go to these worlds and there are just people everywhere. It's chaos. And look, I like to think that I keep calm at the best of times. But gee whiz, when it gets really hairy with your kids and there are throngs of people everywhere and there's streets involved, Batmobiles driving down the street.
Come on, Ferg.
Boys, I want to know.
It's chaos.
What did you have in store of snacks? Did you give her a few smackos?
Oh, we
was it chicken and chum for lunch, mate? Poor Layla's not microchipped, is she?
I'll tell you what did happen at one stage. She's well trained, right? Re-dropped the lead at one stage. Sorry, her grandmother dropped the lead at one stage.
Yeah.
Grandmother dropped the lead and looked at Spencer in the pram, and Layla noticed that her lead was on the floor. She picked it up, walked it up to Grandma and said, "Mama."
Back to the owner.
So Denise, Grandma takes it back, takes the lead, and Layla, obviously, back over to Mum and says, "Here you go, she wants you to hold it."
Now, did she need to be strapped in on the Ferris wheel, or was the leash enough? If only Collingwood had one of them for Jordan to go, he would be all right.
No contract issues there for Jordan.
David Coles joins us shortly. Triple M.
This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
On the line is our man, Greg Rass from Rusty's Garage Podcast, which you can get for free on the Listener app. Rusty, you got us.
Good morning. What a big week in Adelaide for you guys with the return of the 500. There must be some good celebrations in relation to that news.
Oh, mate, we're over the moon with it. Should be absolutely brilliant. Now, there's been a bit of a change to the 2002 Supercars calendar. The old fave, which is coming back, mate, this is going to be superb. What are your thoughts on it, please?
Oh, I think it's terrific. I mean, firstly, the new government that came in made this an election promise. So yep. I know we get pretty miffed at politicians at times, but the fact they've gone ahead with it and been true to their word is great. In you know the relatively recent past, it's always been a season opener. So to think that we've been able to include it on this year's calendar is tremendous, and it's got that season finale status through to 2026. Mm. We've missed it, guys. I mean, I was there for the very first one working with Channel 10. I was there for the last one pre-pandemic. I think it does. I mean, I'm a motorsport person naturally, but I think it does some great things for the city for all sorts of reasons. You guys were very miffed when you lost the Grand Prix to Melbourne, and you grab this thing with both hands. It's a signature event for all sorts of reasons, and losing it in the first place was a massive mistake in my opinion. And yeah. I'm super pleased that it's coming back.
And the British Grand Prix next weekend in the F1s, Lewis Hamilton looks to be improving in the Mercedes at the moment, back on the podium in Canada there, Rusty.
Crazy to think that he's been hardly on the podium this year when you know, he's one of the all-time greats of the sport, and we've been so used to it being just a common occurrence. So they out of the box at the beginning of the year, they came up with a radical design for this car. It hasn't worked so far for different reasons, but it is showing glimpses of promise. So Canada was good. George Russell, his teammate, has kept punching above, you know, the weight of that car all year. Yep. He's delivering, which is tremendous. So I think they can sniff a bit of opportunity here now. It'll be very hard to get it on par with Red Bull and Ferrari at every event, but I think the fact that it's getting closer is good for the game, and they could, you know, stage some upsets in the championship battle as it continues to unfold.
For sure.
And Rusty, it's looking very, very, very likely that an Aussie will be on the F1 grid in 2023. Another one.
Here we go, Rust.
This keeps coming up, this story, doesn't it? So, I mean, firstly, the Alpine team, which Oscar Piastri is the reserve driver for, keeps saying that, you know, this is more or less a crime that someone so talented is not on the grid. He deserves to be on the grid and should be in 2023. There's been rumours of a tie-up with Williams next year, possibly replacing Nicholas Latifi. Let's not forget, guys, this is a youngster from Australia who came in rookie year in Formula 3, wins it, goes to the second tier beneath Formula 1 as a rookie in Formula 2, wins it. So he's a reserve driver in the main game this year. We'd love to see him on the grid actually racing. And the people that know say he's got a huge amount of talent. So let's hope that absolutely happens for Oscar Piastri next year and that he's on the grid.
Love your stuff, Rusty. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, brother. We'll catch you next Saturday morning.
See you, guys. Thank you very much.
Nice, Rusty.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
104.7 Triple M Dead Set Legends on this beautiful Saturday morning. You got Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo, and an absolute privilege to be speaking to this guy. He dominates Sunrise every morning and single-handedly ripped the tarps off Amy Stadium and put Port Adelaide back on the map. Koshy, you got us.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Yeah, mate, we're on top of the world. Now, before we get stuck into the serious side of things, our mail is that you might have run into the Rush Hour boys last week the beautiful Adelaide Hills at a nice little winery and potentially ended up with a headlock on Andrew Jarman.
Yeah, well, it was a great delight to run into the boys after particularly being in Adelaide last Thursday evening and listening to the boys on radio on Triple M when I was driving down to Alberton and sort of bagging Port Adelaide at the time, saying no chance of winning against the Swans. Bernie, who you would expect, sort of said, well, they've got no hope in finals anyhow. Sort of candle has been well and truly snuffed out there. Jars then sort of weighed in with, you know, the usual one-eyed crow view of exactly the same and saying no chance with the outs of Robbie and Bokey and gave us a lashing. And so I was delighted. I was at Sidewood on Sunday for lunch with my staff that had come across from Sydney for the game to see a... I was going to call them radio royalty, but I think that could be going too far. Jars, Bluey, and Jimmy Brayshaw all having lunch there. So I just went, approached them, and sort of commented on how well we had done on Saturday. And basically what dicks they were on the Thursday night, giving us a shellacking.
And by the end of the afternoon, Koshy, we're hearing Jars was right up your freckle.
Yeah, no, they just went to water. You know, they're great behind the microphone, you know, they're king of their kingdom, but when they get shirt-fronted at a restaurant with the realities, just went to water.
That was very funny. Would you like to talk a little bit about, you know, how you've seen, you know, your presidency and some of the biggest achievements you've had and what you've seen as the highlights during your seat at the helm?
Oh, look, I think first up, getting our licence back from the SANFL was huge for us. Remember, up until 2013, 2014, SANFL owned both ours and the Crows' licence. So getting back and getting that back and being independent was really important, the move to Adelaide Oval. But for me, it has been building a sort of business model at Port Adelaide that meant we were financially stable and sustainable. So it means we can fully fund our football department and we don't have to cut into TPP or soft caps or anything like that just to survive. And that was my goal right from the start, to make sure that the football department did not want for any resource, that there would be never any cutbacks in the budget. We'd spend the maximum, and I think that's been the good thing for us. And we've showed it on field. We've been one of the most consistent clubs over the last 10 years. That, you know, you never hear us talk about rebuild. I think rebuild is a term that's a cop out for failure. We've always been competitive over the 10 years. That we're one of the few clubs that hasn't dropped below 10th in that 10 years. Our bottom has been 10. So we've been on the edge of the finals and in the finals for a number of those years. So, and now we're redeveloping Alberton. So that's the big legacy piece for us at the moment, that Port Adelaide can be there for another 100 years.
It's an exciting time down there at Alberton with what's going on and the AFLW program coming in as well. I want to talk to you about footy now, though, Koshy. With the noise around Ken was ridiculous at the start of the season. He's been to two prelim finals and he's 0-5. Yep. Surely he still gets the opportunity to continue next year.
Oh, absolutely. He's contracted for next year. So there's really no discussion about it. And look, football clubs start to worry about coaching and coaching groups when there's fighting amongst players and coaches, or there's a lack of support for each other. There is not one iota of that at Port Adelaide Football Club, and has not been for the whole year. The whole group has ignored the white noise. Everyone has an opinion, and that's fine. But, you know, our job is to ignore the opinion and believe in what we're doing. And we couldn't be more solid. And it's times like 0-5 that really galvanise a strong group. Mm. And we didn't need to show that, but I think the results since show just how strong we are as a group, both on field and off field.
Yeah, it certainly has shown a lot of backbone, Koshy. I'm interested to ask you a little bit about yourself and your future at the club and how long you see yourself in the role for.
While people, you know, members still want me there, while I'm still enjoying it, while my family is happy to support me, I'm enjoying every minute of it. We've achieved a hell of a lot. We've got a lot more to achieve. We opened the Port Club officially yesterday on Friday, and we've spent sort of $4 or $5 million on that, and it just looks sensational. Tenders have gone out for the redevelopment of the training facility, which will include a new field over there, a rectangular field. There's a lot on at the moment. So, you know, I want to complete that and win a flag.
Koshy as well, mate. Obviously, we've seen some talent get injected into the Port Adelaide Football Club. Jeremy Finlayson, Ryan Burton, Alir. It's a pretty big name servicing around at the moment. Been linked to the Port Adelaide Football Club in Jordan Degoe. What were your thoughts be on that one if the club did pursue to get that name inside the four walls?
Look, that's up to the list managers. I don't get involved in that. I give an opinion when decisions are close to being made, but we're not even close to thinking about list management for next year. So it hasn't got on my agenda or my radar at all.
Do you back a leadership system that you could help out a Jordan De Goey at the Port Adelaide Footy Club?
All I know is our leadership system and our culture is so strong that it has helped out a lot of players who've come to us. We're being seen by a lot of players and managers as a destination club that you come to improve your football, and particularly Indigenous players. We've got an amazing community support system for that, and that's why we regularly have the most number of Indigenous players playing for an AFL club, and we hold the record for that, and we're incredibly proud of it. And that's all based around the community programs that we operate, and those players see us as a safe place to come and play and also thrive in their career. So we're good at that sort of stuff.
Now, Koshy, you're in the big meetings with the 19th licence being thrown around with Tasmania. We've seen the Tasmanian Sports Minister, Nick Street, talk about this on Wednesday, I think it was. He said, what's more disappointing is that we're being told that Jeff Kennett and others are saying that behind closed doors, that's different to what they are saying in public. If they don't support the bid, just say that. Where do you stand on it?
I am completely open-minded to Tasmania getting a licence in the AFL. I always have been, and I'll make a decision based on the deal when it's done. All of this argument about can Tasmania afford a stadium? How's the government going to run it at a profit? They can't possibly do this, that, everything, is just noise at the moment. It is irrelevant until a formal proposal is put that can be assessed. So there's no use saying no to something. And I think it's incredibly disrespectful to any state, but also a heartland AFL state, to just dismiss an idea without seeing the detail and the proposal. Incredibly disrespectful. So my view is the broad outline has been shown to them, that there's got to be underwriting of any losses over a long period. There's got to be a stadium involved, because you're going to be playing in the big league. So the parameters have been set by the AFL. Let's see the deal and make a decision then. I think it's incredibly narrow-minded if people are just dismissing it out of hand without seeing the deal. That's not what we are as a sport. We're a sport that should be big thinkers, disruptors, think outside the square, not go into our little cave at everything that might challenge us.
Like you did going to China.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. We went there for a purpose. We had a plan. And it worked for us. The problem is the two countries then had a fight.
And with the borders back being open, do you see yourself going over there again, Koshy?
I think it could be a while.
Koshy, we won't see any French sponsors anytime soon either, with the way the submarines went. Renault won't be coming back.
I don't mind us being the international club for AFL to promote trade. I think that was a great niche for us, and would be happy to do it again elsewhere.
We certainly got out of the postcode, Koshy, and you promised everyone that. Now, I'll tell you what, I am interested, just to straighten up a little bit after a bit of a laugh, I'm interested to get your thoughts on Rocky dressing as going down the slide in the big freeze. What happened there?
I thought it was bloody funny. In all honesty, I had a go at him, but just because he is a bit of a sweater, so we wanted to.
In the studio right now, let me tell you.
We wanted to see how we'd respond to it, but it was bloody funny. It was a very good likeness, I thought.
Oh, he had me nervous. I didn't sleep for a week, boys. Now, we know that you're jetting off overseas later today, over to London for your daughter's wedding. I want to speak to you about the time we sat next to each other on a plane.
Oh, no.
On the way back from Perth, Robbie Gray had been injured. You swapped seats with him, gave him your business class seat. And how do we put this? Someone had belly pains around us.
Yes. And, dead right.
And it wasn't Koshy.
And spent the whole flight passing wind. And that was before you had to wear a mask. So that was even worse.
Yeah, no, I apologise for that. And I wasn't asleep. I just was pretending to be asleep so that I didn't have to face the noise.
Yep, no, that was a memorable flight, let me tell you. It's one I won't forget and I'll put in the book one day.
Koshy, you're a very good man, mate. Thank you so much for jumping on board. You've done a fantastic job with the Port Adelaide Football Club. You should be super proud.
And keep those guys under control.
Will do. Thank you very much.
So, yeah. Bye.
Triple M, 104.7 on the dial. We're also on listener as well. LISTNR. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. Time to get all the news out of Melbourne.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, AFL newsbreaker, Jay Clark.
Jay Clark joins us on the line right now and just got dominating the last week. No doubt about that. Jay Z, you got us.
We thought it was busy when the Bailey Smith news dropped, but then when the Jordan, the Goey situation unfolded, it has certainly been a big couple of weeks in the AFL landscape.
Yep, for sure. So what's the fallout from that? Obviously, he's done the piece to camera there, Jay-Z, and apologised. It was probably about this time last week where he said nothing to see here sort of style, and then, done a complete 180 since.
Yeah, I mean, I sensed some frustration from Collingwood that he simply wasn't coming to training. And then when Collingwood coach Craig McRae said he wasn't responding to his text messages yesterday, there was a real unease about the situation. But a couple of hours later, Jordan Ngoi did film that club apology, which was meant to happen on Tuesday. It eventually comes on Friday. And to his credit, I mean, he did genuinely seem remorseful in that situation. So, look, he's got a lot of work to do, Jordan Ngoi. There's no doubt about that. Collingwood want to give him the opportunity to turn his life around over the next 2 months. And I think they will encourage him to be open and honest about some of the issues and some of his biggest challenges. And they're sort of lifelong ones. So I think there's some storytelling to be told there. Add some context to some of the poor decisions that he's made, in his life, I guess, and in his football journey. Certainly, there is still clubs watching. There's no doubt about that. St Kilda have got their eye on Jordan. I'm interested in Brisbane to see whether they could make a play for Ngoi as well and come from left field. But expecting Jordan Ngoi to return to training on Monday and hopefully show up and as he said in the club video, make more right choices than wrong choices from here.
Now, Jay, we had David Koch on a little bit earlier, coaching landscape around the league. He confirmed that Ken Hinckley will be there next year. How does that change the GWS situation?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wonder whether, Clarko's in the box seat clearly, but I just wonder whether the club will have to now start scouring and start investigating some of the untried coaches as well. So up until now, we thought the Giants would really want some profile, but Alistair Clarkson, it just does seem to be cooling a little bit. So whether that's Mark McVay, James Hurd, also Ash Hansen at Carlton now has had a big impact at the Blues. So Adam Uze at Melbourne, highly respected. So I think they are beginning to do their work on that, and they need an answer from Hurdy. So as I understand it, the Giants are currently uncertain whether James Hurd actually wants to stick his hand up for the senior coaching job. So I think Hurdy's been a bit non-committal around that. I think it's probably time to get some clarity on that. But Ken, I've always thought, has been one of the most underrated coaches in the competition over the past decade. Port should absolutely do everything to try and keep him. And I'm glad, he has that sort of certainty and security. He's contracted, obviously.
Now, JC, Matty Crouch has found his way out of the Adelaide Crows side again, shocking some. He had 31 touches at 80% efficiency last week, plus 7 tackles. There must be some sides out there thinking he's got something to offer.
JC, just before we get your answer as well, have a listen to him last night on the news services.
Yep. Quite disappointing, to be honest, and I'm quite frustrated at it. So, there's nothing I can do apart from go back and play good footy now and put my hand up again. I didn't see it coming, and I spoke to Nixie and VB about that, so it was a little bit unexpected. I felt like I played okay on the weekend.
Yeah, that's strong stuff. That was really pointed and blunt, wasn't it? I don't think he'll beat the club next year. This caught my eye at the selection table as well. I think he will move. I think the club wants to go in a different direction, reading in between the lines. He's been solid, Matty Crouch. Geelong is the club you can circle here. They want to bolster their midfield. We know it's an ageing on-ball brigade. They'll be sort of looking at sort of a James Warple, a Tanner Bruin, an Angus Brayshaw at Melbourne. They need to bolster that engine room. And I would have thought that Matty Crouch is someone they'd be looking really closely at. I mean, if he's not keeping his spot in the senior team, you wouldn't have thought they could expect much sort of in a trade going the other way. So we know he's an absolute ball magnet. And by the sounds of that clip, he's frustrated.
Yep.
You know, he's not sure either what he's meant to be doing or what standards he's meant to be keeping. You know, that's a really frustrated footballer. So it's surprising. I mean, I reckon he's got a lot of good footy ahead of him, Matty.
He's only 27 years old, Jay-Z.
Yeah, I reckon. Just watch the Cats on this space, boys. Mm. He's from country Victoria, obviously, and I'm surprised to see him drop. The Crows can put an absolute dagger in North Melbourne this week too, or tomorrow as well. Zeeble out, Jason Horne-Francis not there, Jeff Walsh brought into the club to review it, David Noble is under the pump, the CEO Ben Amafio is under huge pressure. If it's a big blowout loss to the Crows tomorrow, I think this story will really heat up throughout the week.
And Jay-Z, in a word as well, where do you see Degoe playing next year?
Elsewhere.
There you go. I like that. Jay-Z Clark joins us. Thank you very much, mate. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
See you, boys.
Ooh, I like that. We're going to wrap the show up next. Dead Set Legends, 104.7, Triple M.